Warning. The following podcast may contain people who aren't very good at golf. You're listening to the Chili Dippers Podcast.
Well, Duke has done it again. Opened up another episode of the Chili Dippers. We'd like to welcome all our listeners back with us again for the ninth episode of the Chili Dippers. This is, once this episode's done, that will be the front nine complete. Where are we at the minute, Dave?
Byron Bay.
Byron Bay.
Well, we're actually at Brunswick Heads, which is a small town about 11, 12 kilometres north of Byron Bay. Lucky enough that my uncle has a holiday house here and lets me use it every now and again. And look, we come up, we enjoy the weather and play some golf, and that's what we've done again.
This is our third trip to Brunswick Heads?
My fourth or fifth, but you've come up a couple of times as well.
So we've just played 18 holes at Byron Bay, which was surprisingly, last time we came up, we played a few others that were up sort of a bit more...
Higher on the rankings? Byron only just snuck in, but we went and had a look, and we thought it looked good, and we thought we'll play that next trip, and this is the next trip. So we played it, it was good.
Yeah, really good. It was actually, very surprised with, especially the, it didn't get off to a great start when I went in to put some sunscreen on in the toilet and come outside and just happened to slip on the deceptively flat bit of ground and roll an ankle as I was walking. Like proper rolled an ankle, not just a little one, like... Was in some trouble for a little bit of trouble there. So I didn't start off great, but I soldiered on and we got to the first.
Having said that, what about before we got there? We spent the morning in Byron Bay, which I hadn't spent much time in. I reckon that's a great place.
If you haven't been there, you need to get to Byron Bay.
It's just so laid back and relaxed, isn't it?
Unbelievable, yep. Full of hippies and just nice little small town. You can get around everywhere by foot on the beach.
The breakfast place, you enjoyed that more than I did. What was that?
Get Toasted, it was called. Get Toasted. Highly recommend there. Just for all different, obviously, toasted sandwiches and breakfast, toasted sandwiches and lunch sort of stuff. It was really, really good.
I loved it. We drove up to, there's a big lighthouse at the far corner where there's a bit of an outlook and all that sort of stuff. We were filling in time. We thought, we'll do this. That'll be something to do. It was fantastic, wasn't it? Yeah. The view up there, you could see the dolphins swimming.
Yeah, we saw a couple of dolphins.
People everywhere and all that sort of stuff. And then that little beach down the front with the houses around
beautiful
it.
Beautiful houses. Sensational, wasn't it? Yeah, great area. No, it was really, really nice getting up there.
The course. The course looked fine. The course looks good. Not on the coast, more inland, even though Byron's obviously on the coast. The course isn't. The clubhouse and pro shop were...
Very basic.
That's fair enough. But the first couple of holes really won me over. I loved the first couple of holes. The first, that big downhiller to the water.
Big elevated tee box. We love a big elevated tee box at a Chili Dippers.
So that was down to the dam at the corner, then back up the hill.
Yep.
I think I parred the first.
I think you might have.
Which I always enjoy doing. Then the second was sort of up and around the corner
big
again.
Big dog leg left, yep.
Yeah, and it had the houses at the top corner up there. That was good. Then the third, the par three over the little dead ground a bit sort of thing. I really enjoyed the start. I thought the course got you off to a great start.
Yeah. Look, we got it on a day where it was a really slow day. The course was packed and it was packed with seniors day.
Over 80s slow day it was.
But look, we weren't in any hurry. I couldn't walk anyway, so I was happy to just sit in the cart and just let it all. The old fellas were nice. They kept apologising on every tee box that they were holding us up.
When we were hitting balls into their back of the head. But that's all.
Yeah, but no, we just took our time and getting around.
The middle section of the course was, it was fine. It wasn't, there's nothing overly memorable.
Not going to blow you away, no.
No, I think the first three or four holes and the last three or four holes were the highlight of the course, but the middle section was fine and all that sort of stuff. I think we played normal enough. There was nothing, I can't remember many great holes. I don't think there was any birdies or eagles. I don't think there was any 10s or 11s. It was just pretty solid.
I think it was just a basic sort of round of golf, I think.
But then what happened on 16... changed the day. I really enjoyed that. Explain what happened there, Luke.
Okay, earlier on, we were sitting on a tee box, but there was four old blokes on the tee box. There was four old blokes down the middle of the fairway and four old blokes on the green, and we're thinking this is going to take a long time. So we were sitting there and we were just waiting and waiting, and we looked around. We seen two youngish blokes on the hole behind us, and they both had a ball on the edge of the green, and I was just happened to be watching, and the first bloke chipped and nearly went in. I said, "Oh, Rolls, he's nearly put that in." And then the second bloke's on the same. I thought, oh, he's nearly put that in as well. And anyway, they roll up behind us and we just start chatting to them because, you know, that's what we do. We're friendly fellas. And we said, oh, geez, you boys putting those close. And one of the blokes who looks like sort of a tubby homeless person said, oh, geez, that was only good shot we played all day, mate. You must have seen the good one. And so then we had a bit of a laugh. He was
remarkably modest, wasn't he?
Yeah. Anyway, we get to the 16th and big elevated tee box, big path that goes all the way up the back. And we're sitting, it sort of has a little bit of a U-turn up the top for you to turn your cart around and come back and you've got to walk up to the tee box. So anyway, we're sitting there again waiting for the old fellas to tee off like we're doing all day. And the tubby homeless man came up to us and said, do you guys mind just if we join your group, speed things up for the last three holes?
At all, of course not.
Yeah, of course we can. So we're to the tee box, it's our turn. His playing partner looked a bit like Gilligan from Gilligan's Island, sort of
Didn't
a skinny
even
bloke.
Had the hat too.
Yeah,
the Gilligan
had the brim
hat
sort of thing. We hear him say to the other guy, oh, where's this hole go? and me and Dave, being the friendly guys we are, we're explaining to him. And the hole was like, it was an elevated tee box and it was a big dip, big wide fairway, really sharp dog leg left.
With a big dam at about 250 on the far corner.
And then up to an elevated tee on the left. So we're explaining this to Gilligan, saying, yeah, the play is down there the corner, or if you can hit a fade around the corner, that's over the trees is the best play if you've got that game. And
I hit my drive pretty straight towards the dam because it's 250, so I'm not going to get there.
Yeah.
And then the homeless dude who was carrying a bit of weight asks me, he goes, oh, what club should I hit here? And I said, I hit your 250 club. And he goes, well, that's me 3-wood. And I said, well, hit that there. You won't get it into the water with that. And I'm thinking, who's he think he's going to hit the water with that? And he has smashed it into
and
the middle.
And he's taken about 20 metres on the fly into it. And a really good swing too. And then he's looked at Rolls and gone, if you're me caddy, you'd be fucking fired. Yeah. And we're looking at each other thinking, geez, that was a lucky hit. And I was thinking, oh, yeah, it had a nice swing to it. And anyway, then Gilligan steps up.
Oh,
and he with a hybrid, hits his fade over the trees. Mm. With a slight fade, lands in the absolute mayor's office. And we're looking at each other going, lucky hit.
Yeah.
So anyway, we get down there and we get up to the top of the green. We're putting out. And as we're walking to the next hole, we say to the tubby homeless guy, oh, what do you do for a living? Oh, sorry, no, we said to Gilligan, what do you do for a living?
Yeah.
And Gilligan goes, well, I'm actually the golf pro here at Byron Bay.
he said, what about your mate? He goes, well, he's a touring pro. He's been playing in China and all that sort of stuff. But once we heard that, I said to Clark, he said, well, I actually parred that and he bogeyed that. I've got one up on the touring pro here.
Yeah, this guy's name was Dean Lawson. He was ranked 757 in the world. And we're telling these two guys how to play the hole.
Yeah, they were having a bit of fun with us, I think. But then I whispered to Clark, I said, I've got one up on this bloke and I'm going to beat him over the last couple.
Yeah. So the second hole is a par 3, again, slightly elevated tee box. Yeah. I've teed off first.
Pretty long par 3.
Yeah, it was long par 3, and I have shanked mine onto the next fairway, like horrible. Yeah. Like middle of the fairway, though, so I had time
to
get
back. Hit 6-iron?
Yeah, it would have been about a 6-iron.
Because I hit hybrid.
Yeah, yeah.
I hit hybrid and smashed it.
Yeah, so
onto the green.
Onto the green, yeah. Dave played a beautiful shot onto the green.
The other two boys missed as well.
Nah, tubby homeless guy was short right, about 2 feet off.
Yeah, yep.
So I've walked over to mine, which was on the other fairway, and played a beautiful wedge up and over onto the green and ended up parring the hole. And
I made my two putts for par.
Parred. And chubby homeless dude, the pro.
Now, just so you know, chubby homeless guy, this is a touring pro. We probably could call him touring pro from here on in.
Touring pro duffs his wedge to about 3 feet in front of him, just hit all dirt, and then the ball just rolled forward. He had a bit of a chuckle, looked at his playing partner and sort of shook his head.
They're playing for, these blokes know each other, and they're playing for dinner for that
night.
Yeah,
they're playing match play.
They're pretty fair dinkum. They're trying to beat each other.
Yeah, so anyway, so he ends up making bogey again. So me and Rolls both beat him on that hole. And then we go on to the last, which was, and then
par 4 back up the hill.
Par 4 back to the clubhouse. The
I've got honours.
Yep.
I smash a drive about 220 up the middle. Gee, they hit it a long way past me.
They did. And that's what they said. The actual Byron Bay pro said, look, I'm one up here, but I need to at least park, and pointed to the touring pro and said, because he's going to birdie it at worst. He
both went trees on the left, but they were a long way up.
Yeah,
gee, they hit him a long way, yeah.
So then that hole ends.
Don't just end it, because I got it up on to the big elevator, got it up and made two putts for another par. I've had 3 pars in a row.
You've had 3 pars in a row and actually knocked off the actual
pro.
Touring
they
pro.
They both parred the last, I think, and halved it. Yeah, they halved it. Yeah.
Yep. And I think I beat the Byron Bay pro, but tied the actual
So that we were pretty happy with ourselves there. We thought we were fairly good hanging with the pros for three. And don't get me wrong, those three holes were on the top of being 16 over for the day, where they were 1 and 2 over for the day. So, but,
and they were really nice guys. Really nice. And we just, I'm just upset we didn't have our recording devices on course, because those, I think they would have been quite happy to.
Yeah, well, the touring pro was got. Is it the Fiji Open coming up next week, he said?
Yeah. Fiji Open said, which will be on ESPN.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yep.
Well, you said it, I think you said it earlier, he's ranked in the 700 somewhere in the world.
757,
I think. And he made a bit of 100 or 200 grand on the Chinese tour last year.
Over 200, they said. Over 200,000.
Yeah, so yeah, and I said, couldn't be nicer. It was fantastic. But yeah, for mugs like us, to play three or four holes with those blokes made the day. I just thought it was sensational. So that's Byron Bay Golf Course. A pass. It was good. It was great.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good value. Wasn't overly expensive.
Yeah, if it was $150 a round, you'd and ah about it. But for the price we paid, which is around $60,
$65. No worries at all. And look, yeah, for the day, it's a great day. Morning in town, beaches, breakfast, afternoon at the golf course. Couldn't be easier. Friendly people. Yeah, what's it ranked? Did we say what it was ranked? It's in the 90s somewhere. It only just got in, but and that seemed about fair enough too, I reckon. It's definitely not a top 30 or 40 course.
Byron Bay is 92.
There we go.
92.
Yeah, and that, I reckon that's par for the course.
Fair. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Agree with that. Okay, now that's Byron done. Let's get to your favourite part of the podcast, David, and answer some questions in...
Welcome to Question Time.
Today's question is emailed in from I'm assuming it's a guy named Elton Brown.
Elton. Thanks for listening, Elton.
Okay, and Elton wants to know, well, people just assume we like food. What takeaway outlet has the best burger, best fries, and best desserts?
So this is individually, not the one that has a... All right, so we'll start with burger?
Yep, go. We'll go one on one, or you want to give all three yours?
No, we'll do one on one. Burger done.
Okay, give us your burger.
I live in Auckland. That's where I eat my burgers these days. And there's two places over. There's one called Burger Fuel.
Ooh, yes.
I think they may have one up on the Gold Coast there. They do a chicken burger with camembert cheese, bacon and egg.
They have one in Byron Bay too.
Well, they may. But it's a chicken burger, bacon, cheese, egg. But the cheese isn't just, it's a thick, melty, rich camembert cheese. And the chicken's as fresh as, it's fantastic. So that's me chain one. And there's a place called Big J's in Auckland, which is more of a mum and pop type store.
I don't think you've taken me there.
Yes, I took you to Big J's and loved it.
Which is Big J's?
The one with the gravy chips that was sensational.
More information?
No, that's it. That's all I've got. But yeah, so Burger Fuel is for the chain, Big J's. Big J's, look, old school mum and pup hamburger, good as it gets sort of thing. But look, funnily enough, the gravy fries make it, but they're my burgers. How about you?
All right, I've got two. I was going to go, again, not overthinking, I was going to just go the basic number one burger from In-N-Out Burger. Just plain, simple, just meat, cheese, tomato, lettuce, but just done really well. But I think my all-time favorite, again, is a staple burger from a chain in America called Jack in the Box.
Jack in the Box. They do a great breakfast.
First they do all-day breakfast. And it's just called the Sourdough Jack. So it's like two big thick pieces of toast that are sort of toasted. And it is just absolutely magnificent. But it's just a shame you just can't get it anywhere. They're hard to find because they're not all over America.
I think they're West Coast.
Just West Coast. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, no, good. Well, there's some good burgers. Yeah. We'll live on that.
Fries.
Fries. Look, it's simple. And McDonald's fries are horrible, I reckon. The real thin, chippy ones I don't like. Oh, KFC. And again, it's the salt. The chicken salt on the KFC fry. They never get it wrong, I reckon. That's good enough for me.
Yep. Yeah, and speaking of that, this is something I always talk about too, and it absolutely baffles. So I don't mind Macca's fries, but KFC are better. And like I say, because of chicken salt. Why don't McDonald's do chicken salt? I don't get it.
They can't own it all, can they?
No, they can't. I just don't get it. In today's society, if you surveyed 100 people, on chips alone, what salt do they prefer? It's got to be pushing 80.
All right, let's see if we can get 100 people to ring in or email us and tell us.
Yep, or of the 10 listeners, 8 maybe.
Ring in because we've given you our phone number.
You've got our mobile numbers.
Send in your emails.
Chicken,
tell us.
Chicken
tell
salt us or regular salt on chips.
But that's fair enough, all right? But your chip. Yep. Now, I was Going to say this one, but I reckon I left it to you. Which one?
Schnitz.
Schnitz's chips, yes. Schnitz's
chips
yes.
are the best. They are literally the best. They never get it wrong. They're so consistent every single time. That's the only thing that lets KFC chips down. When KFC chips are at the best, they are up there. But they can.
Oh, you reckon they fall away occasionally?
Sometimes, yeah, yeah.
Probably what happens when you've got 14-year-olds on $4 an hour working there.
Exactly. But the Schnitz chips just are just absolutely perfect every single time. Yeah, no argument. Hands down for me, my favourite.
Unbelievably, all we do is argue and disagree on everything. We're actually not too bad on that. But desserts. Surely we can have an argument here.
Yep. All right.
Me for dessert?
Oh, you've been starting, so you go.
Yep. I'm not a big I'm a sweet tooth, but I'm not a big dessert guy by any means. But McFlurries are McDonald's McFlurries are the best.
I've actually got McFlurry written down here. I've got a particular flavour written down.
As Oreo? I have. I got Malteser.
Oh, yeah, I got Oreo.
I got Malteser McFlurries. That's it for me. I'll tell you what. Look, even just the basic chocolate sundae is fantastic.
Yeah.
And Hungry Jack's. Have you had a chocolate sundae from Hungry Jack's?
Yep.
The ice cream there, it's something wrong with it.
Yeah, it's like ice cream. Yeah, like it's actually
icing. It takes incredibly artificial too.
Yeah, it does.
Don't get me wrong, I know the McDonald's one's artificial, but at least it tastes good.
Yeah.
So, McDonald's McFlurry and Maltesers is me.
I've got McFlurry, I actually changed it in the end after I've got it written down, but I changed it to this might be a bit of a cop out because it's an actual dessert and it's just recent too. Normally I like to go classics, old school, but this is just recently. Domino's are doing a thick shake right now that is absolutely beautiful. It is
you're right. I've had that. It is very good.
I've been preaching that for the last couple of months. That if anyone hasn't tried to get down to Domino's and if you like that sort of stuff, get yourself a chocolate thick shake.
Well, we'll probably just explain why we struggle to walk 18 holes of golf, I reckon.
Well, there you go, Elton. Again,
that's the only we got another question. Let's have two.
Oh, yep.
Have
sorry. Yeah, well, let's keep going. Yeah, send in two, so we'll ask that one as well. All right, question number two. Elton wants to know. He's got here. What's the greatest hole you've ever played? So we were debating whether it's the best looking hole, best golf hole, or the best hole the way we've played it. So we can actually answer both. I think.
All right. Yeah, that's
I think we can
fair.
Do that. Yep. Yeah.
All right. And we'll leave. All right, we'll start with. Well, I like the greatest hole we've played, as in the
skill level.
Yeah, because it gets to pump ourselves up a little bit here.
Let's go.
Because if you've played 7,000 golf holes, you've got to play one or two okay every now and again. All right, so I've got two. I've got two. Both at Jubilee Golf Club, which again, pure numbers game. I've played 400 rounds at Jubilee Golf Club,
which is our hometown growing up.
The first hole there is a beautiful opening hole, very wide, easy par four. I've hit me drive just up the left edge to about 140. I was playing with my brother, who's an ordinary golfer bordering and serial cheater as well, actually. So I'm really keen to beat him. I hit me drive up the middle, about 140, 7-iron, bang, in the cup. I've had a 2 on a par four to open with.
Not the day you had 187, I'm open.
So my brother, I think, has probably had about an 11. So I'm thinking, beauty, I'm 9 up after the first. Steve's decided, we're playing match play today, 1-0. that one. And then a completely different day. The fifth at Jubilee is a par 5 that runs along the back edge behind a dam, heavily bushed on one side, a few trees on the other. Going through a stage where I wasn't hitting driver, I was hitting 2-iron off the tee, still hitting it a million miles. And I've monstered 2-iron off the tee about 240 or 50, and it's bounced on the – Jubilee can get very hard ground. Bounced along the left edge, run up behind a tree to about 170 out on the par 5. But I'm right up behind the tree. I've never played it in my life. I've played a hooded 5-iron around the corner, and it's gone around the tree, sailed straight up the middle over the bunker, plops, middle of the green, rolls toward the hole, make the putt, eagle. It's a 2-iron, 5-iron, eagle on the par 5 up the back of Jubilee. Sensational. So they're the best two I've played. Probably. What are the best? What's your best hole?
Mine also is an eagle. A certain
good
kind.
Eagle, yes.
I was playing, I work in Benalla and for a little while there, so was my brother. And we were playing. We've got a competition we play every year. We call it the Bum Cup. We've got a trophy which is a black urn, so it's black urn match play is where the bum comes from. And we during that and start savings only 9 holes, and we play every Wednesday after work. This particular day, we were coming to the 17th, which is a short par 3, about 120 metres. And I was one down with two to play. And I said to Adam when we were walking up, I said, the actual exact words I said was, I'm feeling pretty confident here. I said, because I've been hitting this red wedge really well lately. So I teed it up. Snap. And it was one of those hits where I was balanced. I held me pose. Club behind me, hands up near my ear, club behind the head, ball sailing, and I hear my brother go, fuck, that is all over it. Mm-hmm. Hits the green, one hop, slams into the pin and disappears into the hole at 100 mile an hour. Hole in one.
Hole in one. You've had a hole in one.
Hole in one. How many have you had? Have you had one?
No.
You haven't had one.
every mug and idiot and that I've played with who's off 20, 30, 40 claims I've had a hole in one. Oh, I had it. Back in the middle of nowhere, I happened to be by myself with no one watching. Now, don't get me wrong. I know your brother, and I know he wouldn't. And I know that was genuine, but it annoys me that I've played 10 times more golf than everyone, and I'm reasonable at it. I had been, and everyone I know's had a hole in one except me. It's a disgrace.
Yeah. So anyway, it was one of those.
But well done. That's great. Hole in one. Good. Because anyone can win the lottery. Well played.
And that's the thing. I've always said, I've hit some before where I've skinned it off the tee and it's ran down the fairway, short par 3, and finished within a foot. And I've sort of, sounds dumb, but you say, I'm glad that didn't go in because you don't want your first hole in one to be that. But it was one of the cleanest wedges I've ever hit. And I always thought it'd be one of those things where I acted kind of cool. And badass, but no. I'd chuck the club in there, looked at me brother. We both had this moment where for 3 seconds we were just staring at it, eyes wide open, and then all of a sudden we just started carrying on like it is. We're jumping around, doing the horse ride, we're hugging them and we're carrying on. It was just, yeah. And then look, and it was, went back to the clubhouse, if that's what you can call it, in Benalla, and I was shaking. I was just so amped to this. So it was one of the easily the best.
Yeah, that's good. That's great. Any hole in one, any fair dinkum proper ones, but comp with your brother, that's brilliant. Really good.
Yep. So now moving on to your favourite hole, we'll call it. Favourite hole you've ever played.
Yeah, look, I reckon I've been on tees and said, this is the best hole I've ever seen. This is the best hole I've ever seen. But I'm struggling memory-wise on that. We played in New Zealand at a course called Wairaki, which is a bird sanctuary, and it reminded me of the American courses you grew up on telly watching, had the big pine trees, the little streams, all that sort of stuff. I think it was about 14 or 15, the par 4 that ran along the back there, that all heavily pine treed up one side.
The big long line of pine trees.
Yeah, the stream at the front sort of thing. I even reckon they had a tree in the fairway in front of the green there. Yep. I loved it. It was just, look, there's been plenty that were over the ocean and beaches and all that Curry Cliffs was my favourite, as in so many great holes that were beach and cliffs and all that sort of stuff. It was great. But that one at Wairaki stands out for me.
Yep. Yeah, no, that, I was with you on that. On that day, that was a really nice surprise, that course. I've got one of the holes at Wolf Creek, which is in Las Vegas, Nevada, which is one of those, just a beautiful course. It's just got brown, deep red sort of hills everywhere and just cut across the top. And then they've just got these dark green fairways.
The green amongst the desert there just makes them stand out. It really adds to it, doesn't it? Yeah. I've only seen pictures. I've been to Vegas, but not for the golf. Sorry. But I really agree. They look great.
The 16th so there, which is a signature hole, is just unbelievable. But I think my favorite is Cape Kidnappers, the 15th. Which is a monster par 5. They call it Pirate's Plank. From the blue tees, it's 594 metres.
594 metres.
We were playing off
the... Was it a par 8?
We were playing off the whites and still 504. And I've looked at it's a famous hole. I've looked at pictures of it from a hole. I couldn't wait to get there. And I said to Rolls before teeing off, if I'm ever going to play a good hole, it's this one. I want it to be this one.
The whole finger of land is the fairway.
That's right, yep.
And it just runs out in and it just cliffs both sides. Cliffs and ocean
side
and all
just
that.
Just 100 metre drop off
the ocean.
They
even had that warning sign, don't get too close to here or you'll fall off in the air.
Absolutely. That's
as good as hole as anywhere in the world.
Yeah, and the green was just floating in the air. It was just, as you looked at it, it just had like an affinity edge all the way around it and just off into the ocean and the sky. And I actually did play that hole. I actually had a putt for par, which is all I wanted to do. Par would have been. And I actually just skimmed the hole and ended up with a bogey. But that was easily the best hole I've played and probably will
enough.
Be for
that
a long time.
That should be the best hole a lot of people have played. That is brilliant. No, good answer. Well done.
All right. Well, I think we've ran out. Oh, no, we're on time. That might be the Byron Bay podcast Excellent. Nearly covered again. Great. Very good. I'm going to say it one more time. Elton Brand, I hope we answered your questions. Keep them coming if you would like. And I think we'll leave it there.
Excellent. See ya.
Thanks, mate.
Sticking on the back where the grass don't grow. Gonna take a few hacks. There's a place for you if you're just like me. I'm Jeff Rich, yelling at the TV. You have another cool one, but it won't hurt. Got myself a big stick swinging in the dirt. I got a two-bit job with a little bit of pay, but I'm no pressure, couple lessons a day. We're working on the swing and talking trash. Take another good hit, try to make